Good morning. We're in Acts chapter 17 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 15 in Acts chapter 17. If you're looking on a Bible that you got under a chair in front of you, that's page 1276. Love to have you read along with us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time now in your word. Lord, may we never forget how blessed and fortunate we are to have your word, your very word. Lord, and how we get to gather here regularly and study your word together. Lord, we know that we need the help of your Spirit to understand. So, Holy Spirit, help us understand this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, three friends decided to go deer hunting together. One was a lawyer, the other was a doctor, and the other was a preacher. As they were walking, along came a big buck. The three of them shot simultaneously. Immediately, the buck dropped to the ground, and all three rushed up to see how big it actually was. Upon reaching it, they found out that it was dead, but had only one bullet hole. Thus, a debate followed. Who shot the buck? The lawyer said, I did it. Doctor said, I did it. Preacher said, no, I did it. A few minutes later, a game officer came by and asked what the problem was. The doctor told them their reason for the debate. The officer told them he would take a look and let them know who shot it. Within a few seconds, the game officer said with much confidence, the pastor shot the buck. And they all wondered how he knew that so easily. And the officer said, easy. The bullet went in one ear and out the other. I hope that's not how you hear sermons. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about preaching. And let me clarify this morning what I mean by preaching. Christian preaching. A Christian preacher preaching a Christian message to a predominantly Christian audience. And understand that there are two sides to preaching. There's the preaching side, obviously, the preacher who gets up and delivers a message. The preacher has responsibility, certainly. But then there's also the hearing side, those that hear the message, those that receive the message, they have responsibilities too. And our text this morning has wonderful examples of both sides of that equation, the preaching and the hearing. So let's take a look at it. Paul, Timothy, and Silas are continuing their second missionary journey here in Acts chapter 17. They've left the city of Philippi. Now they come to Thessalonica, and then they'll come to a city called Berea. Well, look what happens in Thessalonica. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So the missionary team comes to Thessalonica. There's a strong Jewish presence in the city. There's a synagogue. And Paul's strategy whenever he visited a city was to find out if there was a synagogue. And if there's a synagogue, he could speak there because he was a rabbi. That was his strategy. There's a synagogue in Thessalonica, and he is permitted to speak three consecutive Sabbaths in that synagogue. And there's a wonderful response. Some of the Jews are persuaded, they come to Christ. Many of the Gentile men and women in that city come to Christ. So we have this wonderful response. But then, as always, there's pushback. Look at verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, I love this, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So many of the Jews in that city that were not persuaded got angry at Paul's success. They incited a riot. They attacked the house of that belonged to a man named Jason, who was allowing the team to stay with him. They were not able to find Paul and company, so they dragged Jason out into the marketplace, harass him, take security from him. Paul, Silas, and Timothy eventually are forced to flee the city by night to go to Berea. So whenever you preach the gospel, you'll have a tremendous response, but you'll also have tremendous opposition. By the way, I love that accusation in verse 6. Don't you love that at the end of verse 6? Look how Paul's team is described. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Don't you love that? Oh, I wish that accusation were true of every local church on the planet, don't you? Making a splash, making a huge influence. Although, we're not turning the world upside down, we're turning it right size up, aren't we? As we preach the gospel. All right, I want you to look closer at verses 2 and 3. This is one of the best descriptions in all of the New Testament of what preaching should be like. Look what it says. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That is preaching. And I want you to notice that very important phrase at the end of verse 2. He reasoned with them from the what? When Paul preached, he preached from the scripture. Now in his day, that was the Old Testament, right? So during those three consecutive weeks in the synagogue, Paul opened up the Old Testament scriptures and preached to them from the scriptures. Now listen, the source of all Christian preaching should be the scripture. Amen? In our day, that would include the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible is the written word of God. It is our textbook on life, on morality, on family, on theology, on church practice, on salvation, on heaven, on everything. So when a Christian speaker or preacher, or teacher, however you want to define it, stands up and preaches, They should preach from the Scripture through a biblical text. Christian, when you go to a church service, when you go to a church event, a Christian event, some kind of a teaching, and somebody is speaking, you should expect them to preach from the Scripture. When you go to church and you listen to sermons, you should hear sermons that are based on a biblical passage. Now, for me, that's always been a no-brainer. Isn't that what you should expect in church? Frequently, I have people come to me and say, you know, we love coming to your church because you teach from the Bible. And I'm glad for that. I appreciate that. But in the back of my mind, I wonder, what's so special about that? Isn't that normal? And yet, I think there are a lot of preachers that waste a lot of time. There are preachers that stand in pulpits and never even open the Bible. There are preachers that stand in pulpits and speak through the latest Christian book that's making its round in Christian circles. There are Christian preachers who stand up in a pulpit and they talk politics, current events, tell funny stories. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking current events, giving illustrations, and giving quotes. But listen, all of that should be subservient to the biblical text which is being expounded. When preaching is taking place, it should be coming from the Scripture. And then be very wary of the preacher who stands up in the pulpit and never uses the Bible and says, I have a vision, or I've been given a dream, or I've had an angelic visitation, or I've had this great experience. That is the seedbed of deception, of false teaching, of false prophecy. Listen, Christian preaching comes from the Scripture. And not only that, the Scripture clearly teaches that preachers are charged to give intelligent, compelling, challenging, well-thought-out messages from the Scripture. I want you to notice some very serious words here in verses 2 and 3. Look what it says in verse 2. And for three Sabbaths, Paul reasoned. Very serious word. He reasoned from the Scriptures. Dialegomai is the Greek word. Dia meaning through. Legomai meaning to speak. To speak through a subject. To speak through a subject all the way. To go back and forth through a subject. To argue a subject. To wrestle a subject. It's a word that says Paul presented intelligent, well thought out arguments from the Scripture. That's the job of a preacher. Notice the another serious word there in verse 3. Reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining. Explaining in the Greek, dianoigo. I love this word. Dia again means through. Anoigo means to open. Literally, to open through. To open thoroughly. To unlock. To open ears. To open eyes. To open hearts. To open understanding. When Paul preached, he sought to unlock, open the meaning of the biblical text so that it became perfectly understandable to the audience. That's the job of a preacher. To make the Bible understandable. To unlock it. The job of a preacher is not to stand in a pulpit and spout his own opinions. The job of a preacher is to expound thoroughly on the Word of God so that it becomes understandable to people. And then look at that other serious word there in verse 3, explaining and demonstrating. Paratithemē in the Greek. Para means alongside. Tithemē means to put. Literally, to put alongside, to demonstrate. The idea is Paul took truths from the written Word of God, explained them, opened them up, and put them right alongside a person's life so they could apply them. Application. Thoroughly going through a text and then making it so there's application, so that when you hear something, you're not just hearing something academically, you're hearing something practically, something that you'll go out and walk and live. That's preaching. One man who spoke little English gave this description of a sermon he had heard. Big wind, much lightning, loud thunder, no rain. That's how many people preach sometimes. A whole lot, but nothing that you can apply. No rain. So do you understand the very serious responsibilities of preachers? It is not something to be taken lightly. And it means that there is to be lots of time spent in preparation. And I got to tell you, I take that so very seriously in my life. I will be prepared before I get in this pulpit. I will make sure that I have researched, that I have studied, that I have prayed through it, so that I can present a message in the way that God wants preachers to give messages. I spend hours every week doing so. You know, years ago, my pastor told me something that I've never, ever forgot. So let's say you preach a sermon for 1 hour, and let's say 500 people come to hear you preach that 1 hour sermon. If you're not ready, if you're not prepared, then you haven't just wasted 1 hour of God's time, you've wasted 500 hours of God's time. If you communicate the scripture in any capacity at a Bible study, you better be ready. You better be serious. You better study. You better be prepared. There was a preacher who bragged to his elder board one Sunday that he prepared his sermons while walking to church on Sunday morning, and he lived next door. The next week, the board arranged to have him move several miles away from the church. Listen, it shows. Now, every now and then somebody says to me, you know, preachers don't have to prepare that much. You just depend upon the Holy Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit flow through you, man. A lot of preachers think, I just got to get up there and wing it. Listen, I found the more prepared I am, the more the Holy Spirit is able to take me out on bunny trails. Because you see, the Holy Spirit superintends, or should superintend, the whole preparation process from beginning to end. And the more prepared you are in a pulpit, the more you're able to have the Holy Spirit lead you. Very seldom do the messages that I have on paper come out the exact same way that I have them on paper. And you can ask the Spanish translation guys. You know, we have the Spanish translators in the second service that translate our message, and I give them their notes. Most of the time, they're like, do you ever stick to your notes? Very serious about preparing sermons from God's Word. Notice also the focus of the sermon. Verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Who does he focus on? Jesus. Sermons should be biblical. They should come straight from the Scripture, and they should zero in on the person of Christ. I have found that no matter where I am in the Bible, you can find truth in every passage that points to Jesus or what he's done for us or the way of salvation. That is the responsibility of a preacher, and you should expect that of your preacher. You should expect that of me. You should expect that of any Christian speaker. Okay, let's look at the listening side. Preacher has responsibilities. The hearers also have responsibilities. Look what happens in Berea. Look at verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. This is almost like a repeat of what happened in Thessalonica. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So here again, they show up to another city. There's a synagogue. Paul preaches. There's a great response, but then there's pushback. Verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Same thing. You go in, preach, great response, but then there's pushback and they're forced to flee the city again. This time Paul is sent to Athens. Notice that. Notice that with good preaching, good Christian preaching, there'll be extreme responses. And you should expect that. There will be those who receive and are converted and receive it with joy. Then there are others who are going to get mad at you. Angry, create a stink. If you're out sharing your faith, understand, both responses are to be expected. John Wesley used to ask his young men whom he had sent out to preach on probation two questions when they returned. Has anyone been converted? And did anyone get mad? If the answer was no, he told them he did not think the Lord had called them to preach the gospel and sent them about their business. Listen, when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, people are either converted or they don't like it. And they get mad. And a preacher who is faithful to the text will see that. You know, Christian preaching is interesting. It comforts the afflicted, while at the same time it afflicts the comfortable. But you have to be faithful. Now, look at verse 11. This is a famous verse. Many Christians have this verse memorized. You might even hear Christians talk about being a Berean. This is how we should hear sermons. These were more, what? Fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Listen, we should all be Berean Christians. We should all listen to preaching this way. It says that that group in Berea was more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Literally, the word means noble, higher-minded. The idea is that that group in Berea had a greater appreciation for what Paul was doing. A greater appreciation for the fact that the Word of God was being expounded faithfully. And because they had a greater appreciation, there was a reverence. There was a heightened awareness that God was speaking through His Word. If you come to a church and you got a preacher who's just spouting off whatever, man, that's not any big deal in my book. But if you have someone who is faithfully trying to expound from the Word of God, then you should take notice. You should come with expectation. That audience in Berea, it says they received the word. You know what that means? They listened. They heard it. They focused. When you come to church, you should listen. Pay attention. Focus your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts wander. You know, the Bible says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and our souls and our what? Minds. That means think. That means you worship God and you show your love toward God by coming to church and giving Him your thoughts, your focused attention. Listen. Pay attention. Don't let your thoughts wander. A dad was so excited, he thought his son was listening at church, little boy. During the sermon, he asked his dad, "How do you spell God?" He was writing. And dad was so excited. Oh, he's listening. Told him how to spell God. And then right after that, the son asked him how to spell Zilla. Not listening. Now, I know that we live in the world, in the generation, in a society that is literally ADD. Do you realize that we live in a society where we're taking things in 30-second chunks? Look at the video. Look at the next video. Look at the tweet. Look at the Facebook post. Boom, boom, boom. And you know what? Our attention spans are wrecking. And I don't think that's by accident. You know, there used to be a time where people thought, where people could read incredibly difficult books and understand them, where people could sit together and have intensive dialogues on complex issues. So I just want to encourage you, work at it. When you come to church, discipline yourself. Think. Read along. It says that they received the word with all readiness. The Greek word means eagerness. It means a rushing. A rushing to receive. When you come to church, you should be eager. You should want to come and hear from God. And I promise you, if you come with that attitude, if you come prayerfully about what God has to say to you, if you come saying, I'm going to listen, and we're going through the scripture, I promise you the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. He's going to share something new with you. It's part of your worship. Notice what else they did, and I love this. This is so important. Not only did they receive the word with all readiness, but what does it say at the end of verse 11? And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Did you see that? Now you got Paul the Apostle preaching at you. Don't you think that would be authority enough? And yet that group said, we're checking Paul out. As Paul is bringing forth the written word of God, expounding on it, opening it, demonstrating it, there's a crowd that's listening intently to it and then also scrutinizing it, checking it, studying for themselves. Just because there's a guy that's in a pulpit, or there's a guy on a TV show, or there's a guy speaking on the radio, or the guy that wears a robe, or has some doctor of divinity. Yeah. Just because you have somebody like that speaking, they in themselves are not the authority. What's the authority? The scripture. That's why they should be speaking from the scripture. And so you need to check speakers out. You don't just blindly. That means you need to search the scripture. And I would wholeheartedly encourage you to check me out. If they had to check Paul out, you need to check Terry Gray out big time. I do my best. I work hard at it. I try to be faithful, but I need to be checked. And so, hearers have a responsibility to be biblical students. Understand, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, is supplemental to your daily Bible reading. It's supplemental. This is supposed to just help you. This is supposed to just spur you on. That you would be excited about the scripture. By the way, since we're on the subject, you know something that would greatly encourage me as a preacher? If you brought your own Bibles to church. I would love that. If you brought your own Bible to church. Don't you have your own Bible? Don't you like your own Bible? You can feel it. You know where it's at. Bring your Bible to church. Or if you don't bring your Bible to church, then use the Bible that's under the seat in front of you and read along with us. Do you know that you retain more if you read? It's encouraging. I can't tell you, it is so encouraging for me to watch God's people read. When I look down to read, every head looks down to read. Because we're reading the Word of God with our own eyes. And it's coming into our own hearts that way. I don't want you ever to think I'm giving my own opinion. I point to the scripture every time I go through it. We go through a text in pretty much detail, and I'd like you to read along with me. See, I want you to be excited about reading the Bible for yourself. This is the spark. Here, receive eagerly, and then check it out. And by the way, make sure that when you're reading the Bible for yourself, that you're doing it systematically. Study a book of the Bible for yourself. It says they search the scripture how much? Daily. Daily go through the Bible in a systematic way. Don't do it randomly. John Huffman tells the classic story of the man who was in a difficult situation, and in desperation, he turns to the Bible. He didn't know where to look, so he let the book flop open and laid his finger on a verse which said that Judas went and hanged himself. After a moment's thought, he decided to turn to a different verse for help. He repeated the process and read, "What thou doest, do quickly." Too many of us are hunt and poke Bible students. And it's no wonder we have so little understanding of God's word for us. The Bible requires and deserves our serious attention and study. We are so blessed to have the Bible. Amen. And when a church gathers, we have a good meal over the scripture. I have my responsibility. You have your responsibilities. We all have the same responsibility of reading the scripture daily, getting to know it better. Let's do that. Amen? Father, thank you that we get to have this opportunity. Lord, excite us. Excite your people. Give your people an insatiable hunger to know you better in your word. I pray that this book would come alive. I pray that as it's preached here, there'd be great fruit. I pray that we would grow in maturity. Lord, I pray for those here this morning who are afraid to study, thinking that perhaps they can't understand it. Lord, I show them that you have marvelous things to teach them. Lord, it's wonderful to know that as people who belong to you, you have put your spirit in us, who is our guide. And you make things plain to us from your word. Father, for those who are communicating your truth regularly, bless those efforts. Encourage them again to be strong in preparation. Lord, for all of us who share you, who seek to be good witnesses for you, I pray that we would do so with great effectiveness and be ready for whatever response may be. We love you, Lord. And we love your word. May we know it more. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's